We want to kind of look back, look at where we are, and look forward this morning. So that's kind of what we're endeavoring to do, and hopefully we can collectively think through that and be ready to start the new year. I'm going to start out by reading Psalm 100, and again, you'll find in your bulletin all this information. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May God bless that reading. I get a chance to talk a little of the history of this congregation. And I'd like to read a statement, and then I want to share a few historical things with you. I'll just read it. As we gather today, I'm honored to reflect on the remarkable journey of our congregation and the rich history that has shaped us into trying to be the passionate followers of Christ we are called to be. The North Tampa Church of Christ's history is a testament to the enduring spirit of commitment and devotion that has defined our collective journey. From our humble beginnings to the present, we have witnessed the hand of God guiding us through various seasons of growth and challenge. As a shepherd, it is heartening to note the pivotal moments of our history, the key dates that mark significant milestones and the events that have shaped our character as a church. Through the ebbs and flows, we have remained steadfast in our mission to serve, to teach, to build relationships, and to worship God. Today, may we continue to be a spirit-led beacon of faith, love, and unity in the journey that lies ahead. As I said, I did some historical research, and I went to somebody who was historical to get this information. The preacher. And so, if this isn't accurate, he's right up here. Those of you that have been around here for a while. But this congregation really became an entity because there were two congregations in Hillsborough County, Florida Avenue and Northeast, and they were more towards the northern and eastern part of Hillsborough County, and they determined that maybe they should join together and that they should start a new congregation in this part of our area, which would include Pasco County. And so they made that commitment. They worked hard at pulling things together, and we are on this property and in this building because of those efforts. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think the people had a hand in putting the nails and all the stuff that made this building. And if you've ever been involved in that, which I have, it's an interesting experience building a building with the help of a contractor, because you're really getting in there and trying to do what you can to build the house. And so that commitment on the part of those folks 25 years ago about, plus or minus a month or so, and we need to be thankful that they had the ability and the desire and the sweat to make this place happen. And we're enjoying the benefits of it. The first Sunday that you met in this building, and this is a preacher count, there was 83 people. That's pretty good, starting from scratch here, so to speak. The second Sunday, after Neil had preached that first Sunday, it went up from 83 to 105. Again, that's a preacher's count. The leaders at that time, and you, some of you know these folks, and we had a 25th year celebration, and some of them were here. Jim Starks was one of the shepherds that was here. Ronnie Jackson was another one, and I didn't know those two, but I knew Bobby Groves, and he has passed, and we miss him, but we knew him at another congregation, he and Wanda and the kids, and so that's how this place got started. There was some Christians from two congregations that said, we need to get together, we need to find a place that'll serve a larger area here, and we need to get down to work and roll up our sleeves. And they did. And as we look back, we can certainly be thankful that they had the wisdom and put in the sweat equity that we're living on even today as we meet in this place and as we are growing and serving the Lord. So that's your history lesson today. I'm glad to see no one fell asleep and slept too long on that. Let's have a prayer as we move ahead. Father, we are thankful that you are our Father and that we are children. And as we think about this place where we worship, as we think about those who came before us that made this possible, we're thankful for them, but we look forward. And we look to the future that lies ahead of us, and we don't know what that is, but we know who you are. And we pray that you will continue to lead us, that you'll help us to serve you, and that your word can go forth in this place. And we pray it through Jesus. Amen.
If you can, please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to be reading from Psalms 92. You can follow along with me if you've got your handout. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him." Please be seated. It is my honor to speak about where we are today. And I got this handout this morning, and I thought, wow, what better testament to where we are today than to look at all the things that we have planned in 2024 and all the people that are working in our Lord's church. As we look at where we are today, it is evident that God is working powerfully within our midst, guiding us in various areas of ministry and fellowship. We see the Lord's hand orchestrating all of these things as we let him lead, giving us impactful service, impactful outreach, touching lives, and transforming hearts. I want to spend a few minutes just talking about all the things that are going on today, and it's going to take me a few minutes. But as you listen, I want you to pay attention to how many people are involved in making this worship and this church function. It is amazing. So each of the elders has different areas that we oversee. And so I'm going to go through these by the area of focus for each of the elders. So Monty Betts oversees our ministry areas for children, youth, and member encouragement. And in that area, These parts of our worship are really flourishing. Our children are growing. They're becoming more knowledgeable about the word, and they are sharing that with others, bringing their friends and asking others to participate. So our children's ministry leaders are Vicki Miner and Christy Chatham, and our deacon over the family ministry is Lee Chatham. Our dynamic youth ministry leaders include Austin Drake, Neil and Carrie Pomerinke, Matt and Addie Manzi, Bill Hempel and Jan Blackwell, with Neil Pomerinke serving as our deacon. Our member encouragement ministry includes the Heart to Heart Card Ministry with Ken and Renee McLaughlin. And John Love has volunteered to reach out to those that have been missing for a while and makes those calls and sends cards. Chris Kent is overseeing our member-to-member ministries, including life groups, worship and song service, shut-ins, and local outreach. Our life groups remain a vital cornerstone, providing spaces for fellowship, support, and the nurturing of authentic relationships centered on Christ. We are thankful for the work that Richard Hammonds has done in 2023 with this area of service, and look forward to great things from Jason Smith as he takes over as the deacon in charge over life groups. Furthermore, our outreach efforts to the local community have been a great part of our church, continuing on and reaching many people for Christ. We're thankful to the team of worship leaders in this area, Chris Ray, Rebecca Heaton, and Ruth Hempel. We are extremely blessed to have a team of individuals that work hard to make our worship services uplifting and filled with praise to our Lord. And our praise leaders have been very gifted as song leaders, including Jason Grantham, Brian Hessenplug, Craig Johnson, Richard Hammonds, and Jan Blackwell. We've also have renewed emphasis on meeting the needs of our shut-ins, and we appreciate the work that Paul Matches has been doing in this area for so long. John Shackelford oversees our administrative coordinations and mission areas of the church, which allows us to have a well-organized church, our worship services, and meeting the critical needs of those abroad. Our administration area is led by Sandy West, working with Shaq and many others to address attendance, prayer needs that are written in the cards, new members, and so many other things. We appreciate Sandy. Our audiovisual team up in the booth, we appreciate you guys so much, with Joel Ellis, Craig Johnson, Jason Grantham, Robert Briggs, Bryce Briggs, Kelvin as well, and so many others. I couldn't remember everybody that works up there, but just a really great group providing sound and lighting, and also taking care of our live streaming, which so many of us have taken advantage of when we've been out of town or been sick at home. Our connections and involvement area is being led by Richard Hammonds this year, which is a new focus to get higher involvement from our current membership and helping us to grow closer as a family. Our website coordination and technology area is led by Eric Miner. Eric's done a great job getting our website going and getting our hit rate going for people looking for a church. Our finance and accounting has been led by Bob Ray for many years. Bob does a great job and has been doing this for a long time. It's a kind of a background kind of role, but so important for our church to function. Our grounds and building maintenance is led by Byron Boyer, Mike McLean, Stacy McCullough, and probably several others I don't know about, but we appreciate you guys. And our worship service center is staffed by Linda Vines, Byron Boyer, Pete Franco, Bob Ray, and Patty Bass, with a host of others who volunteer to greet, to serve coffee, to provide handouts, open doors, help people find a seat. Just so many things that have to happen, and you may not know who all is doing that. And in my area, I oversee many of the education and ministry areas that focus on opportunities for our adults to participate in meaningful and challenging Bible studies throughout the year. Starting this year, Jan Blackwell will be joining me and leading the adult education as our deacon in charge of that area. We look forward to his input there. Our family life ministry, including the young adult programs, is going to be led by Will Harris this year. We appreciate Will stepping up for that. The men's ministry has several group meetings. There's a Tuesday night section for Men in Crisis, where Lance Baker and Ala Tetshera have been leading. And then the Thursday night sessions led by Eric Miner and Will Harris and many volunteers. The Women Ministering to Women group is led by several ladies, including Karen Matches, Cindy Shackelford, Ruth Hempel, Charlotte Kent, and Alexis Jennings. And I know there's a lot of other women that volunteer to lead and to teach. We're so thankful this month to welcome Austin Drake to our midst as our associate minister. We're super excited that he's going to be bringing fresh perspectives and really helping our teens and our young adults, and looking forward to all the great things he's going to do. So in all of these endeavors, we really want to humbly acknowledge that this God that's leading, it's not us. God is in charge. And in spite of our imperfections and our lack of abilities and times, we're encouraged by the grace that God shows us in letting us do all these things for his glory. So together, as we think about all these things that God is doing, we're going to be talking in just a minute from the other guys about where we're going. But I think it's important that we pause for just a minute and say, God is doing great things here. And he's working through so many people that I just mentioned. If I just called your name, would you please stand? So I did that not only because I wanted to acknowledge you, but also I wanted everybody to see how involved everybody is. There's a lot of people that just stood up. A lot of people are making this happen. And there's opportunities for you, if you were not one of those people, to get involved. And we would love for you to do so. And your elders want to encourage you to get involved even more than you have been in the past. And we really appreciate you. So if you would, please bow with me in prayer as we reflect on these things. Our dear God in heaven, we are so thankful and we praise your holy name. You are above all, and yet you consider us worthy of your love and attention. We are so thankful that you've blessed us in so many ways so far. Many great works have been just talked about, but we know that we can do more because you can do more, Father. Please help us in 2024 to work even harder to serve you. May those who have more capacity to help be encouraged by you to seek ways that they can contribute to these works and to bring other works to the bear. Please, Lord, help us as we try to fulfill your great commission to bring others to you so that this church can be a beacon to the community that everybody would want to be a part of. Let us never grow complacent. Let us never become prideful. Let us approach you with humility, reverence, and awe as we seek to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we have talked a little bit about how we got here, and there was a little bit of a bridge between who we are and where we are. But we're going to start this portion as we go into who we are with the reading of God's Word again. And if it's convenient, please stand as we read. We're going to read from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6, and again at the end, verses 20 through 22. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you, his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Be seated. So we specifically talked about people and thanked many people for the work that is being done at this point in time. But we're about to embark on a new year, and there will be much work that Shaq will tell us about in a little bit, about where we're going, new work to be done, new challenges. As we gather in worship and fellowship today, it brings great joy to know that the essence of who we are is a faith community. At the heart of our identity is a warm and welcoming family, embracing all who enter our doors with open arms and genuine love. God has blessed us to make a positive difference in people's hearts and minds that reflect Jesus Christ. That's who we are, and because of that, we're growing like we've been blessed amazingly with growth. Shaq will be telling us some numbers about the growth that we're having. Jesus taught us in John 13, verses 34 and 35, as he was telling his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Your shepherds try to lead by example because we love God, we love our duties as your leaders, and we love each of you." And that shows when we have visitors and when we have people that come that we haven't seen in a while, because unlike many places I've been before, you're surrounded. You can't get out of here without people telling you how much we're glad you're here and how much we love you, and you see how much we love each other. And that's going to be creating some challenges because having more children in a house where you have only so many bedrooms. You can stack them on top of each other, but at some point, you know, you have to expand. And we're not going to quit loving everybody and showing love and being a safe place. And so there's going to be some opportunities for service. Generosity flows through our veins as we joyfully give our time, our talents, and our resources, reflecting the abundant grace that we've received from the Heavenly Father. At North Tampa, we're more than a congregation. We're a vibrant, faith-filled family. We're committed to shining the light of Christ in all that we do and extending His love in all the local area and in the world. Our Spirit-led congregation is deeply rooted in service. This is exemplified in His teachings of Christ through acts of generosity and compassion among the family, locally, and into global communities. In Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. The two Jewish people went by the guy laying on the side of the road. They didn't have time to stop and take care and to provide service. They were busy. But the Good Samaritan said, "I found somebody in need. I found an opportunity to serve." And he took the guy and he bound his wounds and he took him and he left him at a place and he paid and said, "Here's the money to take care of this guy till I get back, and I'll pay you more when I get back if need be." And we need to have that mindset. We need to have the mindset in this coming year that there's going to be opportunities over here and opportunities over here and opportunities within and without. And we need to be ready to step up and do those things in service because that's who we are. That's our essence. And finally, we're united in our faith that we stand as a testament of the power of Christ's love, fostering a sense of unity that transcends differences and unites us in purpose and mission. We're all sinners trying to live as Jesus taught us, caring for each other and trying to love our neighbors as we share joys, pains, fellowship, and fervent prayers. In Galatians 3, 26 through 28, Paul reminds us that in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Can we go to the Father? Father God, we have had an amazing year. We truly have been blessed in so many ways. We know that you continue to bring new members of the family, that you continue to provide us with opportunities for service. We know that's what you want us to do. We know that we didn't come to be served, that just as your Son taught us, we came to serve. And we just ask that we are all able to look at our new year here as a family, and that we're all willing to step up and to become more service-oriented, to help grow this family, to help spread the love, the support, and all the things that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand as we read? Now, to him who is able to immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know how you're feeling out there this morning, but sitting up here and watching my brother, fellow elders come up here and talk about God at work is really exciting, isn't it? And it's been a superb reminder of everything about what you, through God's blessings, are making happen in this community. I'm honored to close our Shepherd's Sharing time this morning by talking about where we as a shepherding team are being called to take you, our flock, in the coming years. We are guided by an unwavering commitment to honor God in everything that we try to do in this family, just as the Ephesians were told about in chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Church, we see a future in this place like never before, where we believe that God is going to bless us to accomplish immeasurably more than what you've seen this morning. Amen? We believe that with our heart, that God is alive in this church, and we have got to step up and take that initiative through God blessing us, and we have going to not let Satan win by us becoming complacent. We are not going to sit back and feel good in our tennis shoes that we've been wearing and where we've been taking thus far. We've got to get out here and do more than ever before. We are blessed, and we have got to be more forward-looking, just like those three elders in 2007 were. They took a leap of faith. As John Wharton taught us this morning, they put their toe in the water. And it's now our turn for this next generation to put our toes in the water and take this congregation to meet the seekers that are out there. We have got to do that. You know why? Because he has blessed us this year with 26 new members already. We've had 6 baptisms. And today, as we sat up here on the front row, we saw that on our list, there are 11 people who have come forth and have said, hey, I want to become a member of this church at North Tampa. 11 new folks are in the process of talking with us about coming on board. Our attendance is running anywhere from 175 to 228 to 284. Easter, 284. 175 when everybody's traveling. But the bottom line is that people are coming in here, but you know what? We are a unified congregation. We are focused on a common mission of being passionate followers of Christ, trying to live as Jesus taught us. We care for others. We care for each other. We try to love our neighbors, and we share our joys and pains and prayers. You are about loving God, about loving others, and making disciples. The future of this church is brighter than ever before. We elders are trying to answer the call that we're feeling and we've been praying fervently about in leading our flock to grow. We know to expand current ministries. We need to find more space to support our growth and to enhance the spiritual development. Back in September, the date was the 17th and another one on the 24th, we elders chartered 2 groups to help us take this congregation into this next upcoming years and forward. We chartered a group that was tasked to look at long-term options. Eric Miner is leading that group now. The charter was very clear. Find a way that we can have a congregational space to worship that'll accommodate 600 people. Find a place, even if we have to build it or rent it or what. Find a place that will fit our fellowship needs. Find a space, create a space that can be dedicated to youth fellowship, classroom spaces for nursery, children, middle school and high school, young adults and young families. We don't need to have classes meeting in an auditorium. We need to have a step of faith, a leap of faith, to build a place or find a place that would help us do that. You can even, the team was told, even if you got to go into metal construction area of building, prefab types, find a way to do that. Explore every option. Don't leave anything unturned. Even if it means finding a partner that would help use some of our acreage out here and develop something that we could do a revenue sharing agreement with. There's about 9 or 10 acres back there that we could allow an assisted living facility to come over here and be built, and we share the revenue of that while we build our own spot. The slate is clean. Find a way to help us accommodate the growth that God is doing. That report will be coming in sometime in March of 2024. And I want the congregation to not only be praying for Eric, but also pray for his team members, Steve Dumas, Mike Stone, Will Harris, Richard Hammonds, Dave Wallace, Byron Boyer, Betty Brown, Evelyn DeVia, Bob Wood, Christy Chatham, and Tina Stevens. Let's be lifting that team up in great and fervent prayers. The second focus group on the 24th of September that we chartered was led by Jan Blackwell, and it was on a charter to find a temporary solution that will let us accommodate the growth that we're having already. You know, there's a rule out there that you've heard about that talks about once you've filled 80% of your seating space, people will stop coming because they think they're crowded. We don't want to sit idly by and be complacent and let that happen. We want to take an aggressive step forward and beat that punch, and don't let us reach the 80% capacity mark. So Jan has some team members, Vicki Miner, Evelyn DeVia, Peter Franco, Vicki Green, Janelle Hughes, Christy Chatham, and Linda Vines. And their charter is very simply, find a way where we can successfully and effectively implement 2 worship services on Sunday morning that includes children's church at both of those services. Find a way to do that. On November the 20th, they presented their findings to us, and we elders prayed through it. We discerned and discussed, and we felt called to approve the plan to go to 2 services. However, we noted that it was crucially critical not to lose the warmth and momentum that we're currently enjoying in this congregation. And we 4 elders are committed, and the preacher is committed, that we're going to be at both services, and Neil will preach at both services. We are committed not to lose the warmth and the excitement that you're feeling and watching this morning and being a part of this place. We're going to encourage and recognize through every endeavor we can. We'll have more fellowships together. We'll have more dinners on the pew if we have to, just to make sure we don't grow into this place where, oh man, they went to 2 services and there's 2 separate churches. Not going to happen. We're not going to let the devil take us down that pathway, church. Amen? Toward that end, what we are going to do is on the 18th of February, we're going to conduct our first 2-service Sunday. 18 February is a Sunday. And intentionally, it has taken us the month of January and a couple of weeks in February to iron out the logistics. When are the times that we're going to offer the first service? When is the second service? What are we going to do about the parking nightmare? That's not the space to park a vehicle, but getting out on County Line Road. Hello, do you know Hillsborough County has a service where they will send a cop to the church building and they'll direct traffic to get us out of here on County Line Road? Relax, it's going to be okay. All right, you don't have to worry about getting bumped to get out on County Line Road as everybody's coming in. We are committed and we are motivated to do this because we know that God's going to do immeasurably more than we plan to do. We've seen it happen. It's just time for us to stop fixing to get ready and go ahead and do this, okay? So as a temporary solution, we're going to do just that on 18 February. That's a culmination of Neil's 40 days of love. It also gets us in there before we have the big Easter service. There's much heavy lifting that's going to be needed. More people like you. More people volunteering to get involved in both services. Just take the step. Just let us know how you want to work, and we will make sure you get a chance to do that. Please do that. It's important because Byron and Peter are going to need more greeters and security guys. Linda Vines is going to need more greeters. We're going to need more people in children's church. We need your help more than ever. And to do that, we believe that there are people who've already told us they're willing to go all in. In the days ahead, we are fervently praying that we will be steadfast in our pursuit to follow God's will. We trust Him. We want Him to know we, through His guidance, will not fail and let Satan win. Amen. So as we press forward as a church, let's continue being that beacon of hope, love proclaimed through our actions so that we can do one thing, and that's to bring the glory to God forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are trying like all get outs to follow you. Bless this family more than ever before, God. Thank you for the clarity that you've given us. Thank you for the excitement that you bring. Father, we are trying our best to honor you with our lives. May we do it better. Bless us as we take these new initiatives. And Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Could I get you to show some love for our elders?
Monty Betts talked about where we have been. John Wharton talked about where we are. Chris Kent, who we are. And then John Shackelford, a little bit excited, talked about where we are going. But I want to talk to you by way of invitation about whose we are. We belong to God. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 or 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the results is eternal life. The things that have been said today have been so encouraging to me that we're looking forward to the future and we're looking forward to what needs to be done here at this location. But each one of us in here have to ask us our own questions. Where have we been? Where are we? Who are we? And who do we belong to? The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.